Welcome to Inside Scoop with Sean Emery. Every week we are examining something new, bringing you closer to companies, sectors, and themes. This recording should not be construed as a substitute for personalized individual advice from Avery & Company or any guest on the show. This is for educational purposes only and not intended to make an offer or solicitation for any companies or securities mentioned. With that, let's get on with the episode. Alrighty, so on to our next session with Tipitat. He is the co-founder and GP of the VR Fund. Welcome, Tipitat.
Hello.
Yeah, so, you know, you've been in this space for a while. I think you were a VR artist, then you, director of product at a social gaming company. You were AR and VR developer within, I think, a Samsung accelerator. If you can just share with, first, anything we missed there, but also, you know, why did you really go out and think about starting a fund firm that's really focused on many areas, including AR, VR, and a little bit about yourself as well, obviously.
Yeah, sure. So like you mentioned, I started off as like an artist, designer, developer, prototyper, you know, wearing many hats, you know, the jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. But really, I just very curious, love experimenting, love new technology. And it was, you know, backing the Oculus on Kickstarter and playing with the early versions, even like the DK2 really was the one with positional tracking that really set my mind racing. Like, oh, what can you do? What can you experience? Where do you want to go in, you know, the VR, in the metaverse? And it was definitely like, oh, if I could go anywhere, I want to go into the Matrix. I want to be Neo. I want to meet Morpheus. I want to, you know, dodge bullets, jump across buildings, do all of that, right? So nights and weekends, some friends and I, we just built this simple little demo, ran on my MacBook. It was, you know, I thought it was slick for, you know, the amount of time we put into it, but it wasn't, you know, AAA. It wasn't the most fanciest thing ever. Just built nights and weekends. And in the process of making this, especially the jump program where you have to jump across the buildings and you fall and you bounce 40 stories off the pavement, I somehow cured myself of my real life fear of heights. And that was my aha moment of, wow, the idea that, you know, I've had video games or movies kind of trigger the fear, but to actually rewire my brain, hack my brain and overcome the fear. That meant that, again, this was a medium that was on a whole nother level. The way it engages with us, the way it tricks our mind, you know, the power, it was going to affect the way we, not just only how we play, but how we live, how we work, how we heal. And that's when I realized this opportunity was bigger than just entertainment and gaming. And that, you know, again, if people working just in their spare time could do something so profound, imagine what millions of developers could do for billions of people. And that's when I really realized I wanted to do something more than just make, you know, games in this ecosystem. And I wanted to help impact it and guide it towards this future that I saw. And this was, you know, back in like 2015, 14, something like that.
Interesting. So you started the VR Fund. You guys focus specifically, generally, what is your focus?
So the Venture Reality Fund, we like to say, you know, the Fund One was focused on the future of computing, which we considered like VR, AR, AI, these fundamental technologies that were going to be the next big computing revolution. And now with Fund Two, we take the next step of that. So what comes after computers? It's the internet. And what's the next step of the internet? And that's the metaverse. And so again, we do look at VR, AR, AI, but also look at Web3, blockchain, and this idea of, you know, virtual worlds, but especially with a user-generated content element. And we're looking a lot at like generative AI, things like that, all this thing that will empower more of the users or players to become the creators and create, you know, more of these 3D experiences that will be, you know, can be fully immersive or could be viewed on your phone. But this idea that, again, how do we live a more complete and fulfilling digital life? I think that's, to me, the North Star of the metaverse.
Interesting. Yeah. So let's start there, which is the metaverse. And, you know, everyone we bring on, we basically ask them, what is the metaverse? But instead of asking them specifically, what's your personal definition, which feel free to do that. It's, you know, what problems are being solved here? And I think that's ultimately what really defines any category is what's the problem being solved in terms of the longevity, the opportunity set, things like that, you know, problem solving definition, however you want to frame it, kind of metaverse, from your point of view.
Sure. And the way I think about it too, is like, there's not really one definition, but we're all putting out there our hopes of what the metaverse should be and that we should all be striving to reach towards a best version of the metaverse, right? And I think it's going to be an amalgamation of all of the different people's ideas here. And what I really think is interesting is, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I guess I'll just pause and just go back to like the fundamental idea of, to me, of the metaverse is that merging of the digital world to make it feel more like the natural world so that everyone can benefit from it. And you can think about what we have with the internet today. We have a lot of consumers, but the people that create and contribute is still a small amount. The people that actually profit from the internet is still a pretty small subset of the people out there. And what's really interesting is that VR, AR really makes the digital world feel like the natural world. It's very intuitive to interact with a 3D digital world in VR or AR, right? Where I see a glass, I know to pick it up. I know, you know, I know how to use it. I don't have to like scroll through or try to, like, it just makes sense because it's presented in a natural way. And that's the real power of saying, okay, now you're allowing people to interact, and that means people will create, develop in a more intuitive and natural way. And I think that's the exciting thing that I see, is really enabling economic opportunity, allowing more people to be part of the digital economy, which is infinite and ever growing, and giving people, like, honestly, this is the evolution of computers, right? It's like, how many more people can we help benefit, provide a better way of life, you know, better opportunity? And I feel like the metaverse is the next big and honestly, the ultimate fulfillment of that.
Right. So there's, you know, there's, you really see two different sides, which is the social side. Mm-hmm. There's also the commercial side. In terms of using AR, VR, you know, XR, mixed reality, talk about, you know, or what do you think about the social side versus the commercial side? Commercial side being, you know, everything from training to education to mental health. You elaborated on kind of the mental health, the concept of having, being afraid of heights, and all of a sudden, you know, totally removing that. And I've heard a lot of anecdotal kind of highlights from kind of people using VR or other experiences to calm themselves down in different ways from a mental standpoint. But again, that's more on the commercial side, you could say. On the kind of social side, you have more of the games, the communities, the networks that are being built. If you could just think about those two independently and talk about the opportunities within each.
So what I think is what's really interesting is the metaverse will be the fusion of the two, right? And you'll say, like, Roblox is the best example as a proto metaverse, right? And this idea that, okay, right now, the metaverse will be fundamentally on the consumer side based on gaming. Gaming has become the biggest, largest entertainment sector, right? And the metaverse is the natural evolution of that. And what we see, especially as you combine, like, you know, the social experiences of it, but when you look at a Roblox, almost, I believe, all of the content is built by their users.
Yeah.
And so when you think about, okay, how many game developers, like Unity or Unreal developers, are out there, right? Like, that would be in the hundreds of thousands. If you think, how many Roblox developers there are? There's millions, right? And these are, you know, 10 to 15 year old kids today building 3D immersive worlds, selling digital goods and experiences to their peers. They're already living in a, you know, proto metaverse, in a metaverse. And as they grow up and they age up into adulthood, you know, will they be satisfied with the 2D internet? Will they want to work in the way that we've worked in the past? And what is work for them? Like, right now, you say, like, a lot of people that make content for the internet, they're making like 2D media. You already have millions of people making 3D media already for Roblox. They'll be making, they're used to making 3D content. They'll be making 3D content in the metaverse. So that's this idea of, like, you know, as we shift the future of working, this is honestly where I think Meta kind of gets it wrong, where they're like, oh, working in the metaverse is not about 2D knowledge workers doing multiple screens. It's no. The fact is, the world is changing into 3D, and there needs to be more people doing 3D work. And that's where VR, AR, immersive really makes sense. And so that's one side of it, and the fusion of the consumer and the enterprise come together. But like you said, there's this whole other category of enterprise, you know, VR, AR, metaverse work that combines, like, digital twins, these more intuitive interfaces that are affecting every industry, from fashion, healthcare, and so many others. And what I think is really interesting is the first beachhead of it is definitely training. Training to do work in the real world in a virtual, safe environment. But the bigger opportunity, and what we're already seeing happening, is doing the work using these VR, AR immersive tools. And I'll give you an example. Like, so, yeah, you know, there's a lot of great companies out there doing surgical training, or, you know, training doctors, healthcare workers. That is fantastic work. But the next evolution of that is surgical navigation. And the idea that doctors can now have x-ray vision when they're doing surgery, and that can almost reduce errors, surgical errors, to zero, and speed up healthcare, surgical operation times, not just for efficiency, but honestly, that makes it way more safer for the patient. And so these are the things that, you know, are already in clinical trials and seeing amazing results. A company called Proprio is doing that, and others. And it's just amazing to see. It's like, yeah, these technologies are really changing the game and democratizing the highest quality of healthcare to everyone.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating as I hear from you is really. And it's really why the term metaverse doesn't have a clear definition, is because you've just literally spoke about many different kind of opportunity sets that in reality, none of those really relate to one another in terms of, you know, we think in the world we live in today in terms of verticals, you know, there's this vertical and this vertical and this vertical. And we, you know, we everything is highly structured. In kind of the world of digitization of everything, you know, what you're seeing now is we're trying to formulate the definition of a digital world. And today what we have is essentially, you know, the metaverse, which is not very clear to many. But when you start to beat up some of the use cases, I think it becomes more and more clear that, you know, you're checking boxes along the way, which ultimately at one point, like you said, we'll have a fusion where it's all connected into one seamless, somewhat experience, either one network that exists that allows you to do many of these things. You know, let's talk about the hardware side, which is really the gateway into all of this. You know, you have glasses, call it Ray-Bans and spectacles and some others.
Where are the Ray-Bans right now?
There you go. You know, I couldn't even tell, you know, it's like, which is good. You can set the difference, which I think is one of the objectives of this space, right? Which is a seamless experience into the real world with some of these native tools. Then you have like the Oculus, whether it was the Oculus Pro that just came out. So I'd love to hear your feedback on just like the general thought about it.
The Quest Pro.
There you go. So let's start there. So talk about the hardware space. You're wearing basically all of it. You have all of it within feet of you.
I mean, honestly, it is amazing how fast it's gone in the past, you know, 5-6 years since from the first commercial VR headsets to now something like the Quest Pro. And what's really interesting too is like a lot of people are like, oh, the Quest Pro, it's just so expensive, it's crazy. And it's true for a gaming VR headset, it's very expensive, right? Because like, you know, the Quest is like, you know, $500, and so here you're like, oh, 3 times the price. But if you compare the capabilities of it, actually it's much closer to the HoloLens and the Magic Leap 2s and these mixed reality headsets that let you blend the real world and are more, you know, geared for enterprise use cases. And then you're like, oh, it's actually cheaper than those. Like those tend to be like $2,000 to $3,000. So this is actually coming in at, so as a device that can do both, it's very interesting that, you know, it's actually in ways more inexpensive because, you know, it uses a different technology stack. But the functionality of it is actually very robust and very impressive. And, you know, honestly, it's an engineering marvel. And the amount of technology you get in is just insane. But the problem is we're still talking about it as a technology and not a product. Right. And so it's like there's not pre-installed applications, you know, by Meta that really showcase what it's good for, how it's going to be used. This idea, like everyone knows in VR and AR, some of the first use cases are going to be like remote collaboration, remote training, and the first efforts, you know, there's nothing really, really coherent. There's no kind of value out of the box with it. You still have to design and build most of that. You have to go into the app store and try to buy some stuff. And so what's really interesting is like that's kind of the stage that we're at with this. But if I can roll it back, I mean, what I think is really interesting is for me as an investor, what I'm looking for is not a hardware product. I'm really looking for a platform, right? And for me, a platform means an ecosystem where millions of developers are making millions of dollars. And what I think is most astounding that most people aren't acknowledging is Meta, you know, recently announced that the Meta Quest App Store has done $1.5 billion in revenue. And this is the first new viable app store since the smartphone. And that, you know, there's been hundreds, or not hundreds, but there's been products that have sold hundreds of millions of devices, had their own app stores, like smart watches, smart speakers. None of them had viable app stores where developers were making millions of dollars. And now, of course, we're only talking hundreds of developers, but the fact that there's more than one developer, like, you know, the fact that third-party developers have a new ecosystem where they can make millions of dollars, and a top-grossing game in the Quest Store can do 50 to 100 million in revenue. And so you're like, okay, this is where large companies can be built. And even though it's a slow growth, it's the fact that it's already happening. It's like kind of reached that tipping point. I feel like, again, it just proves that, you know, VR, AR, spatial computing is the next computing platform, and it's already a viable one.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's super interesting to hear all of the stats that they laid out at the Connect. Talk about, from our point of view, is really understanding, you know, some of the projects that you've seen that kind of are interesting, excite you, that maybe it's not as mainstream as maybe some of the stuff that we spoke about moments ago.
Sure. Well, I mean, kind of tying back into what I was talking about, where it's like, oh, this idea of doing work in 3D, what does that mean and how is it better? It's like, right now, honestly, like, you know, very few people want to do 3D work cases, you know, CAD, computer aided design. It's just very complicated to think in 3D with a 2D interface. And so one of our portfolio companies, they're called Shapes XR. They were highly featured by Meta at the Meta Connect. And they really showcase, okay, doing 3D work in VR is so much more intuitive. It's like playing with Legos, and everyone can do that, right? And so this idea of like, okay, this obtuse CAD thing where you're thinking in 3D spaces on 2D screens to now you're interacting with a 3D world. So a lot of, you know, game creators building 3D worlds, 3D levels, doing prototype work. I mean, they've really become the Figma of 3D, and like Logitech uses them, other customers too. I don't know which ones I can actually mention, but there's a lot of great work that's showcasing that example, right? Another really interesting company that just launched one of their experiences. It's a company called World, WOORLD. And they're also showcasing the Meta Connect that they just launched this week. And it's this, it's exploring the world with street view images, but more importantly, also with photogrammetry 3D worlds, very much like a social version of Google Earth that you can view in a headset. And it's amazing to go explore like places that you grew up with and just feel like you're there from the comfort of your living room, and doing it and sharing those places with your friends. And then also the best part is too, you can do like VR graffiti and like draw, annotate, leave notes for others. And it's just, it's one of those things where when we think about this idea of like virtual tourism, of going to places, being there, I think this is like one of the first steps in really actualizing that dream.
Got it. Question. Do you think these devices, specifically the Oculus chain of products, line of products, will eventually replace kind of the desktop or laptop or, yeah, you know, screens?
But, yeah, I think so. Again, not necessarily the Quest line, but like in the sure. future, right? Yeah. This idea of, okay, are we going to get there? Yeah, like if you can have screens close to your eyes and they can emulate any kind of screens everywhere and give you information, you won't need any other screens in theory, right? And will it be, you know, right away? Probably not. But that's kind of the future that we're all kind of working towards. But what I think is really interesting, and sorry, just going back to the devices, right? Like, I think the Quest has done a great job of proving VR can be a gaming console. Now you're like, okay, I think the Quest Pro is trying to prove, can VR be a desktop or a laptop replacement? And that's where, okay, the price point does make more sense. But I do think, again, where it's not like saying, hey, no, it's not trying to emulate just by being a laptop and giving you multiple screens. Like, that's not how it's going to win. It's going to, if it can fulfill the role of a laptop, of productivity. But right now, the laptop's one of the best productivity devices for the internet. But the headset will be the best productivity device for the metaverse. And that's how it will replace it, right? Not by trying to be a laptop and let you do the work of a laptop, but as work, the nature of work changes, right? And we won't need laptops because they're not the best device for making 3D design. That's when the headsets will really take over.
That makes sense. It's basically using your example of Shapes VR or Shapes, I think VR.
Shapes.
And they essentially you can't replicate that in a laptop. You have to use the other device. And as more and more use cases like kind of 3D objects and the building blocks that you're referring to, as more and more of that comes to life, you start to segment and call it replace your legacy products, i.e. laptop. It's probably why, again, you see a lot of laptop makers creating these devices to protect their own share, whether it's Lenovo and some others. Yeah. You know, so we're rolling out to the end of this session, but I tend to like to ask three questions. You know, number one, in baseball terms, what inning do you think we're in? 1 to 9 in terms of the metaverse?
I think we're probably in like the third inning right now. I mean, again, still very early, but we're already seeing huge gains. We're already seeing a lot of people, you know, going in, not only, you know, rebranding your company to focus on it, but other companies as well, all kind of like trying to figure it out, trying to, and again, it's not saying they want to own the metaverse, but I think they're all trying to like prove out what their vision of the metaverse can be. And I don't think one vision necessarily will rule. I think it's an amalgamation of all these visions. And we think back to the internet, right? And the internet's kind of the same way, where we all had thoughts of what the internet could be. It started out as, you know, virtual catalogs, and it's evolved because of so many brilliant people putting in the work, putting in the money to kind of evolve this thing. And so, yeah, you know, I love the talk about the metaverse because, again, everyone's just theorizing and putting it out there. But then seeing the companies put in the work and shape it, I think, is the most fascinating part of it.
Okay. Number two, you've already laid out a couple of projects, but given that you see plenty of projects, sure, I'll ask it again. But what's one project you've seen that excites you?
Well, okay. So this is one of the projects to me that like I'm so surprised people aren't talking more about. But when we're talking about like VR, AR technologies and metaverse technologies, you know, we have a company we invested in called Apprentice.io. And they do a remote collaboration and digital workflow solution for life science laboratories, drug manufacturing. They help fast track several of the COVID vaccines. So knowing that these VR, AR technologies that, again, are still very early, but are already being used to solve the world's biggest problems, already saving millions of lives. Like, to me, that's why we're like, okay, well, where are we? What inning are we? It's like, we're a lot further than a lot of people think in certain ways, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. A lot of places are kind of in that seventh, eighth inning, and some are in inning one, right? And that's kind of the interesting aspect of all this stuff. Number three is the hype around the metaverse. Overhyped, underhyped, or perfectly, you know, hyped at this moment.
I think it's exactly that famous quote of, it's like, you know, the immediate impact might be overhyped, but the long-term impact is underhyped, right? And this idea that, you know, again, there's so many different aspects to the metaverse, right? Whether, like, the way I kind of think about it is like the immersive VR, AR side of it is more of the front end. Then there's like the Web3 NFT blockchain crypto component that's more of the back end infrastructure. And there's like unequal hype on both sides of that equation, right? But the way I view it is like, absolutely, this changes everything. Is it changing everything today? Not necessarily, but should everyone be planning for it and thinking about it? Yes. And do you want to be involved in the conversation? Do you want to help shape it? Absolutely. Right. So I think there's this sense of, you know, a lot of people are like, oh gosh, you know, Meta spending too much money. You know, is this really, you know, like the right way to do it? And it's like, honestly, they're still not spending enough to do this, you know, the way it needs to be done. And everyone needs to spend more to really achieve this and to get it faster and to help, you know, fast track this. But in terms of, you know, it's weird. I feel like, especially in different sectors, right? Like, it gets overhyped and then the bubble bursts, then it goes like that. And then it slowly builds up. People start making breakthroughs. Then it gets hyped up again. And we see this all the time, whether it's with metaverse, VR, AR, or, you know, blockchain and crypto, or now with like AI. And now there's like this huge hype for generative AI. And remember, like, you know, the hype bubbles of AI before, you know, it's very similar to what we're seeing.
Okay, cool. Well, TBTAT, appreciate you coming on today. You know, thanks for everything and providing us all the different kind of use cases and things like that. It's much appreciated. With that, we are going to move on. Thanks for joining us and good luck on everything.
Excellent. Thanks for having me so much. Take care.